bomb near your house. We are going to bomb your neighbor's house, so you have to evacuate. Sometimes at the midnight, at 2 a.m., we just woke up and ran in the on the streets to save ourselves. Only we do not have anything but ourselves, me, my wife, and my little Mary, which is 3 months old. And by the way, she lived more than the half of her age in the war. So you can imagine that.
You have a 3-month-old baby. I'm sure that must have been really difficult for you and your wife to have a 3-month-old baby in the midst of that. Must have been terrifying.
Yes, it was.
And did you have to go to a shelter?
Actually, no, because the shelters were full of the people who just left their houses during the ground invasion. The ground invasion were not affecting our area because we are living near the sea at the west of Gaza Strip, and the invasion was in the eastern Gaza Strip. So the shelters were almost used during the ground invasion, and we didn't had to go there.
And so let's just end with your Indiegogo campaign. You're trying to crowdfund this desalination plant in Gaza, and I assume that will be in Gaza City. Is that true? Is that going to be in Gaza City?
Yes, in Gaza City. Yes, in Gaza City, at the north of Gaza City. Yes.
And you already have the land. You're just trying to raise the money for the equipment to build it?
Yes, for the equipment, yes.
So that Indiegogo campaign is indiegogo.com/project/raise fund to build RO desalination plant in Gaza. If you just search for desalination plant Gaza, this will come up. And I will also link to it on the KBOO website, kboo.fm/evening news. I've been speaking with Mohammed Ismail. He is an engineer in Gaza who is attempting to build a desalination plant, an independent project crowdfunded. They're trying to raise $60,000 by October 11th. Mohammed, thank you so much for joining us today on KBOO.
Thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. And I'm just thankful to your prestigious meeting and this prestigious interview. Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is Jenka Soderberg reporting for KBOO News.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Triangle Productions premiere of Tick, Tick, Boom, a play by Jonathan Larson. Tick, Tick, Boom is a 3-chapter pop rock musical about facing crossroads in life and holding on to your dreams that was first produced off-Broadway in 2001. Tick, Tick, Boom plays at The Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland, from September 4th through the 27th. More information about Tick, Tick, Boom can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Portland Veg Fest, Saturday, September 27th and Sunday, September 28th, from 10 to 6 p.m. at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. Portland Veg Fest, Oregon's largest vegan food and lifestyle event, offers resources, entertainment, and community building to celebrate sustainable, healthy, and compassionate food choices. Speakers this year include author Dr. Joel Furman, pastry chef Fran, and the author of the Paleo Vegan Cookbook, Ellen Jaffe Jones. Again, that's the Portland Veg Fest, Saturday, September 27th and Sunday, September 28th at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune into KBOO on Wednesday, October 1st for Turning the Tide on Climate Change.
An all-day special about climate change and the actions we must take now.
And don't miss a special guest, Naomi Klein, talking about her new book, This Changes Everything. Capitalism versus the Climate at 1 p.m.
That's Turning the Tide on Climate Change on Wednesday, October 1st, 8 a.m., 4 p.m. on
KBOO Portland.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net.
What's up, everybody? This is Goddess and She, and you're tuning in to KBOO Portland. Holla at your girl.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Out Loud here on KBOO. My name is Alan. I'm your host tonight. We've got a great show. Before I tell you about it, there was a promo just a couple of minutes ago for Tick, Tick, Boom. We had the actors who are performing in that in here a couple of weeks ago. It's a Triangle Productions production. They're a queer theater company here in Portland, and they're celebrating their 25th anniversary. We had a great conversation about arts and performance in Portland and sort of the support that folks feel and challenges they face pursuing their art and their passion here in the city. You can check that out on the archives, or you can go online and take a look at Tick, Tick, Boom. We urge you to go see it. Today we've got, it is Bisexual Visibility Day. So we have Cameron Coode and Lynette McFadden here. They're bisexual community organizers here in Portland. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Yeah. Before we start the program, we're going to hear a snippet. Of something to get you warmed up. Thanks for being here. That was a little snippet of a remix of Thriller. Listen, folks, we start practice this Friday night for Thrill the World. It is the eighth year that we're doing Thriller Dance in Portland. We've had something like 1,000 dancers in zombie costume over the last 7 years dancing this. And We've raised thousands of dollars through this event for SMRC, Portland's Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center. It's a queer teen drop-in center, rec center. Right now it's on Sandy Boulevard. And you should really check them out, smyrc.org. Online, they do amazing work, and they really involve the youth in designing their programming and structuring their organization. So join us. You can either learn the dance online at home, or you can come to our practices. We have 9. You don't have to attend even one of them. You can attend just one and learn the dance, I promise, or you can attend all just for the heck of it. We'll go through the dance in full each time. We'd love to have you. On Facebook, we are Thrill the World dot Portland on Facebook, and we have a blog, but I normally update it just once a year or twice a year. And we'll be dancing in inner northeast Portland. We move it around a lot year to year, and we're not quite ready to announce the site, but it'll be in inner northeast Portland. And we'd love to have you come out and dance, or just come out and watch. That's Thrill the World Portland, our 8th year, and it's part of a simultaneous worldwide thriller dance. So, Cameron, Lynette, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, you're welcome, very much.
Happy to be here.
Wonderful. Tell us about yourselves. Who are you? Who are you in this fabulous city?
That's a great question. Well, my name's Cameron, and I have been doing bisexual community organizing for just about 3 years, just as long as I've lived in Portland, in many different incarnations. I guess what inspired me to start doing bisexual community organizing was just how bisexual Portland seems to me, and how free people in this city are to experiment with gender and sexuality, and how androgynous the style is, and you know, I could list a million reasons why Portland is bisexual.
I'm Lynette, and I am the creator, co-host, and producer. We're all around everything of the Bicast, which comes out of Portland, but we have people from all over the world on our staff. And it is a podcast for the bisexual community. I also am a volunteer for Binet USA, and we recently just got up the Bisexual Awareness Week site. I encourage everybody to check that out.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. Now, let's start with something a little heavy. We'll just start there and work our way towards the good side of things, I hope. we had some folks on from the Oregon Health Authority about a month ago, and there was a study. It was the first, you know, there's a sort of a health survey that the state does every year among Oregonians, and this was the first year that they could look back at a set of figures from the past and sort of track health figures, you know, health reporting details that folks gave for folks who are lesbian, gay, bisexual. And what stood out most among the data that they collected and presented, and the federal government actually published their study results just last month, was that for women, among queer women, bi women, straight women, it was bisexual women who reported far and away the most strikingly poor health conditions and health care. And the same was also true for men. So that, you know, that starts to tell us that there are some significant challenges about the experience of bisexuality that we're not talking about in a way that's supportive enough.
That's interesting about the CDC study. This is the first time they actually broke it down, and it did have some issues, but it was a landmark thing for it to do. As bisexuals, we're not surprised by these statistics. We already know. We've had other studies that show that, and
The interesting thing, it says that as far as abuse, sexual violence, 1 in 4 gay men are affected by this, 1 in 3 bisexual men. And I believe those statistics would be a lot higher because men don't actually verbalize that very much. And then 44% of lesbians are in have sexual violence or physical abuse in and out of intimate partner relationships, which is almost half. And then for bisexual women, it's 61%, which is way over half. So the statistics are frightening, very much so. And then you put into all the other things, the disparities with health disparities, mental health disparities, suicide rates. Our youth are in trouble, big trouble. It is something to be addressed.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to see studies in recent months and years come out where the LGB are all being studied independently of each other, because for a long time it was all kind of conflated together, and a lot of the bisexual specific disparities have just kind of been used by the LGBT community to emphasize the need for support and resources. And it, you know, it hasn't been until fairly recently that the studies have analyzed the subgroups independently and revealed that it's actually the B in LGBT that that suffers the most on every single count of mental, physical health, partner violence, sexual assault.
Stranger violence. Yeah.
Smoking rates, drinking rates, the list just goes on. And it's really disheartening to see that the LGBT's largest subgroup suffers the most and receives the least amount of support and resources. By a landslide, it's actually like if you look at all of the funding that's gone to LGBT organizations and individuals since over the past 45 years, since like the 60s, 70s, 0% has gone to bisexual organizations and individuals. It's a shockingly low amount of financial support.
And that's healthcare. That's across the board.
That's grants and donations. And there's I forget the website that tracks national LGBT funding history. But
I don't remember it. But I have it. It's on the our website, so right. You can find it there.
Right.
It is frightening and. It's very frustrating too, because as you all know, it's been let's all pull together and work for equality, diversity, same-sex marriage, and the bisexuals have been like right along in there, fighting right away, you know, right with the whole community. And when we asked for help with our issues, which there are, we have our own, and we really do, and we get no support. And frankly, there's a lot of hostility from the L and B community that needs to be addressed, that needs to be talked about, you know, education done, you know, good information about what it is to be bisexual.
Yep. Can we talk a little bit about, as much as you're comfortable with, perhaps some experience you have or you know of about just that sort of hostility from other portions of the queer community in our city, in our town?
Well, on my own personal level, I actually internationally, I'm on quite connected and hear all the stories day in and day out about really the quite poor treatment that many, especially our youths, get when they go into some of our LGBT centers and are not supported about their bisexuality or told many things, but anything but that they are bi, and to come back when they're, you know, ready to be gay.
Right.
But that's one of the issues. My own experience is last month was my 1 year anniversary of coming out. I'm 57 years old. And part of the reason I didn't come out or even face my own bisexuality is I believed all of the stereotypes about being bisexual. You know, that it's a choice, that somehow being bisexual was a connected with being morally bankrupt and ambiguous, all of these things that, you know, pretty much the general public believes. So when I did finally face my bisexuality, I had great support from my friends and family who are very diverse, but I still needed extra support. So I turned to who I thought would be the most logical place to go, and that was the lesbian community, and was pretty much given the cold shoulder and sometimes downright hostility. And it was really disheartening for me, since I really believed that, you know, the LGBT community was accepting and inclusive and diverse. And to find this out, the things they said to me, it really hurt. And it was really hard for me. And then I got angry, of course, and I went searching for my own community. And I found a lot of community on Facebook, and I searched for a community locally. And at the time, there was a Google ban where you cannot actually search for bisexual and actually get any kind of help or resources. I just by luck heard about the Q Center, went to the Q Center, and put in bisexual, and Cameron Coode's name came up. He had written an article, and so I believe this is how it went. I emailed you, and he told me about the local things that were going on, and that's how I got in locally. But it was very difficult. So my experience was not good. When I got to my bisexual community and found out how beautiful it was and inclusive and supportive, it was amazing, and I wanted to share that with everyone, and that's why I started the podcast.
And when I first walked into Q Center, when I moved here in the summer of 2011, I walked in. I was, you know, Q Center is the only LGBT resource center on the West Coast between San Francisco and Canada, and we're so fortunate to have it. But when I walked in and asked, you know, I looked at their calendar, I saw all the different kinds of events and all, you know, like words I'd never even heard before. Just, you know, there seemed to be like a group for everyone and everything. And I asked them what kind of bisexual support they had, and the receptionist like basically laughed in my face, and he was like, you can start a group, I guess, if you want. And I did, and I've been running it for going almost 3 years.
Yep.
So it really it takes a lot of passion, I think, to even find bisexual community in the first place. It's really not something you just stumble upon, and sustaining that community with like no financial support or like emotional support from like the greater queer community. In fact, like, you know, running into walls with the LGBT community, it feels like an uphill battle a lot of the time. But the experience of meeting so many people and just being constantly told how grateful people are that I'm doing what I'm doing and that I'm helping people become comfortable with like being who they are and embracing labels that they've rejected their whole life, and like, you know, people who have been just so like painfully isolated from their, you know, from like-minded people for their whole lives, and thinking that there's no hope, and then, you know, showing them that there actually is hope. It's worth every wall I've run into.
For people like Cameron and I, who have had some experience dealing with this, we know how to deal with it. We know how to, you know, keep, you know, tapping away at those walls. What concerns us the most is those people that walk into a local LGBT center, wherever it is, and are met with this kind of reception and without this kind of support. And they're very fragile at that point when they come in. They will turn around and walk away and possibly never deal with it again. And this is could be very life damaging to do that. We all know how important it is to come out to yourself and to feel that sense of rightness about yourself and to have that reinforced that there's something wrong with being bisexual to someone who is so fragile is a deep concern for us. Luckily, GLAAD has been working with us for over a couple of months now, has put out a great social media guide. MAP has come out with a great piece of work guide for yesterday. That came out.
MAP is the Movement Advancement Project.
Movement Advancement Project. And the name of the article is, excuse me, I'm so sorry.
It's Understanding Issues Facing Bisexual Americans. And they partnered with Binet USA and the Bisexual Resource Center, which are the two largest bisexual organizations in the country, and released a very thorough report about the disparities that bisexuals face and the reasons for those disparities.
And then let's talk about HRC today, had a full training, and they are going in, they put out a great piece on the disparities that bisexual youth face, a great piece for that. They're also going to have their Thrive conference here for the bisexual youth to talk about those issues in February. They actually flew the bi flag outside of the headquarters of HRC today. So we are making advancements.
Wow.
I know. Faith just told me, she messaged me and said, they've got the flag outside.
and it's amazing because the HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, has been very bad about bi and trans issues, and they've made a lot of advancements with them. You know, acknowledging their problematic tendencies with the trans community.
Yes.
But this is the first I'm hearing about any kind of support coming from the Human Rights Campaign.
Yes, these milestones are happening, you know, and I really want to thank Alexandra Bowles and all of our organizations for working with GLAAD, who are really promoting Bisexual Awareness Week. And it's really great. If you want to find out a lot about being bisexual, I would head there.
And the Thrive Conference in February, that's here in Portland?
It is. I don't have any real details about it yet.
Okay. We will gather information from you as it gets closer.
That would be great. Find out
what it's about. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about bisexual youth.
Let's do that. We have a large population of bisexual youth. Many of them identify are women. Not women, but young teenage girls. Like I said, it's you go back to the thing where males are conditioned not to talk about these things, and you know they have a real threat of you know violence and you know ostracization from their male peers, whether they're gay or heterosexual, and it's a real issue for them. So I believe those numbers would be higher if everyone could be honest and safely be honest. There are a lot of people out there, are a lot of young people who really need to have that sense of community, that sense of belonging, that sense of knowing they have a history, that they have people behind them, they have organizations working for them, and to find out what it really means to be bisexual. There's a lot of confusion. And we say bisexual, we're talking about an umbrella. And that's one of the things people have a problem with is that they say, well, you guys call yourself all kinds of different things. Well, we do, of course, because we are very diverse. I mean, when we're talking bisexual, we're talking pansexual, all kinds of things, transgender, genderqueer. All of these people are included because as far as orientation, we have a wide group of people that identify as, you know, attracted to same and different genders. And so that is why we're diverse. Our names are diverse. Regional, local dialect, you know, and what they're comfortable with.
Yeah, it's kind of like 34 different names for snow.
Yeah, so you know we need to let our youth know that all of those things are okay, and that being bisexual is okay too.
How do you think we can do that for and with our youth, besides encouraging them to go on Tumblr, where everybody's in this mash of a great experiment in how to define themselves? And
well, educating our allies, for one thing, is a very important thing, because when they, like I said, I want to go back to the LGBT centers, our universities, when these people walk in, having good information, pamphlets, booklets, groups, people that are there that are familiar with what it means to be bisexual and accepting of that. That is one way. And education of the general public is another way. Familiarizing people with our organizations and generally just, you know, when someone comes out to you, accept that. Do not relabel them for them. Do not say, no, you're just confused, you'll grow up, you'll be fine. Just accept it. Sexuality is fluid. It may change. You know, they may go on from that. But the important thing is to respect what someone says and just accept what they say and just say, hey, that's cool, and go on from there.
I think media representation is a really huge factor in influencing young people. Mm-hmm. And again, the B is very behind in regards to fair and accurate media representation. The trans community has, you know, hit so many milestones in the past couple of years, and there's been so much positive media representation for trans people. Just in the last 2 years, and it you know, that it feels like the moment for trans liberation in regard to that. And one example that I can think of is Orange is the New Black. Laverne Cox is, everyone knows who Laverne Cox is, and she is you know, an out and proud trans woman, and it's wonderful. But the main character of that show is, you know, they make it very clear that she's bisexual, but they don't use the word bisexual to describe her. They refer to her as an ex-lesbian, and people just pick fun at her sexuality throughout the show. It's like a running joke, and when young people see that, I don't know how how many young people are allowed to watch Orange is the New Black, but you know, kids see these shows and they internalize those negative attitudes.
Yeah, that's a very, you know, it's a very good point, because it's okay to say, hey, I'm gay on any show now. You know, it's very accepted. We have yet to heard anybody say, hey, you know, this is a bisexual character, I'm bisexual, without it being it needs to be a positive thing. You know, we don't see that. We don't see positive bisexual characters. We're making strides, and then we're really hoping GLAAD's, you know, social media guide will help a little bit. But yeah, we need to get our writers to, first of all, you guys, there's nothing wrong with being bisexual. There's nothing wrong with saying the word bisexual. And, you know, you need to start giving these kids positive role models, because they're not going to go away. You know, it's not going to disappear. You know, you need to make it just as inclusive it is and easy. And I can't say easy, because it's never easy to be anything but what is heteronormative, as easy as it is to be a gay or lesbian. And it is a true sexual orientation, by the way.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, there's really not a shortage of bisexual celebrities and role models. Like, some of the most amazing people out there in Hollywood and in theater and in art identify very strongly as bisexual. And the problem is media misrepresentation and re-explaining these people as gay or straight. Mm-hmm. Anna Paquin was recently on
Larry King,
and he was just so confused by her bisexuality because she is in a monogamous relationship with her husband. And she is a total rock star when it comes to asserting her sexual identity, and she really put him in his place, and it was a wonderful moment.
Yeah, he said something to the effect, so you used to be bisexual, and she says, no, I'm married to my husband and I love him, but you know, you don't stop being bisexual, right. You're always bisexual.
I think he called her a non-practicing bisexual. And I think that's where the disconnect is in people, is they think of bisexuality as an activity,
as a
threesome
behavior.
Or being a swinger.
Yeah.
And really all it is acknowledging attraction to more than one gender.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's what it is. You know, the same thing with Alan Cumming. I mean, he sticks by it too. You know, he says, you know, I'm bisexual, and he's very clear about it. NPR has a great interview with him. So we're really proud of him too.
We're going to take a break and hear a little music. It's one of my personal anthems. I'm not sure why. That's a silly thing to say, but because it's not the happiest song, but it really sticks with me. And then I'm going to come back with Lynette and Cameron and Pose. We're going to turn this story about bisexuality on its head, and we're going to talk about what's right with bisexuality.
All right.
We'll be back. Welcome back to Out Loud, dear listeners. Thanks for being here. That was Alcazar, the Swedish pop supergroup, doing one of my, I don't know, one of my life songs. We're here with Lynette McFadden and Cameron Coode, who are bisexual folks who live here in the city and do community organizing that affects not only our local community, but reaches out around the world. Tell us what you've been up to. What are you working on?
I am in the throes of a project that's been in the works since last winter, and it's called ByBrigade, www.bybrigade.org. This project is a collaboration with a lot of other bisexual people in Portland who have become part of the ever-growing bi community here. And we, the experience of, so I facilitate the bi/pan discussion group at Q Center, which is once a month. It actually happens to coincide with Celebrate Bisexuality Day. If you're interested, it starts at 7 o'clock. I know there's only 20 minutes to get there, but that's been going on for a few years, and I've made a lot of really good friends, and we all just felt like we needed to convey the healing experience of being immersed in bi community and having so many friends who are bisexual and being able to talk to people openly and comfortably about the things that we have kept to ourselves for years. And we decided to create ByBrigade, which is an advice resource column. And about once a month, we respond to a submission. Anybody can send in a submission to bybrigade@gmail.com. And we pick a submission to review. Sometimes we get together and discuss it and create like a blog and transcribes from all the different perspectives. But more often we just kind of, we have like a bulk email list and we send out the submission and then we collect replies, and I post the blog as a thorough response to somebody's often really like difficult questions. People really open up and talk about things that they've never been comfortable talking about with anyone else. And the beautiful thing about it, rather than like writing to Dan Savage or Dear Prudence and getting some kind of awful advice from a gay or straight person, is that the response is from a very diverse group of people of all genders and ages and identities and experience levels and perspectives. And it's actually like been very inspiring to see how much of an impact, even some of my friends have read some of these submissions and told me that they have changed their attitudes about misconceptions that they were holding about bisexuality. So that this project's been really exciting. There's a YouTube video out that you can find on our website that kind of it's our first submission that we respond to, and it shows a bi community, and it just shows what that looks like, and that's something that people don't get to see very often.
Yeah, it's a great video.
Thanks.
Yeah. And what do I do? I podcast a lot. I talk to a lot of our leaders, organizations, different authors, writers. We showcase books. Like I said, leaders and writers. Topics. We cover a lot of topics. Biphobia. Bi erasure. Oh.
Labels.
As,
that was the episode, yeah. I was on.
Did you know that's our most popular episode?
Is it really?
It was like our second or third episode, and it was the worst quality in the world. I had the worst recruiting system, and we are calling to Israel, to Sherry Eisner. Oh my gosh.
Author of Bi Notes on a Bisexual Revolution.
And oh, poor Cameron.
I feel like I sounded so stupid on
no,
that because
you didn't. You were fine.
I couldn't hear her through the Skype connection. It was one of the first podcasts, and so I felt like a lot of my responses were kind of like out of the blue, but
no, everybody loves it, and you can understand it better than you think. But
I'm happy to hear that people listen to that podcast.
Well, it's actually our one of our most popular.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that and the Bi Health Month, talking about our health disparities is the most popular one. But right. Yeah. We reach a lot of people. We have volunteers from across the world, Australia, England. We have a kind of in the shadows volunteer, Alfia, who originates from India, and then all over the U.S., Kentucky, Washington, D.C., John Clark, who is like my right arm. He works at a center by in Washington, D.C., building that community. He's been an activist for over 30 years and all over the place, right? And diverse and very diverse. Gender diversity, people of color. We all actually are poor, so there's not much diversity in financially. We're all pretty poor. We cover it all. And we cover a great amount of topics. I invite you all to go visit that. I also do a lot of work with Binet USA as a volunteer. They're our official sponsor, but I work with all the organizations. We're finishing up, like I said, about buy-in awareness, and I'm hoping to help Community Hold House get the bisexual organizing projects BiCon event going in, is it April this year? Help a little bit with that, hopefully. But doing lots of things. I guess I'm more like a national level kind of thing.
I've got the local.
He's got the local.
I think.
Yeah, you do.
I also throw a social mixer called Bi-Bar. And that meets every second Tuesday of the month at Crush in Southeast Portland, which is on 14th and Morrison. And it starts at 8 p.m. It goes pretty late. We've had a DJ the last few months. It kind of people dance sometimes they don't. It's more just a place to come out and meet other bi people. And so with that and the discussion group, which is every fourth Tuesday, that's an easy way to remember. It's every other Tuesday, pretty much.
Every other
something
Tuesday, yeah,
something bisexual is happening in Portland.
Yeah.
And so I kind of think I have the monopoly on the bisocial world here in Portland. But just the other day, I saw that AMBI, which is a social group based out of Los Angeles, started a Portland bi meetup group sometime this year, and I my jaw dropped. Couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I, you know, not that I'm not involved, but that I don't even have any idea who's behind it and like how we wouldn't have already connected. So it's really inspiring to see how many resources there are for, you just have to do some digging. There's a friend of mine is a bisexual therapist. Her website is actually bisexualtherapist.com. Her name is Morgan Fitzgibbon. She does group bisexual therapy sessions. She does one-on-one counseling. I highly recommend her as a mental health professional. And you can find her on her website, Bisexual Therapist. There's leaders in the spiritual community who are bisexual activists here in Portland. I actually just posted a quote on my Tumblr page for Celebrate Bisexuality Day from a rabbi named Deborah Kolodny. And the quote is, "For over 30 years, my bisexuality has invited me to love others at the deepest level of the soul, loving beyond the garment of gender identity, growing my insight into the human condition, my compassion, and my spiritual maturity."
That's wonderful. I actually had a chance to meet Deborah, and we had coffee. It was great, and she's a wonderful person. She used to be quite involved with Binet USA years back, and we did an interview with her. But yeah, she's fantastic, and we had Morgan on too. That was fine. That was really cool. We need more therapists like that, though, who are trained in bisexual issues. It's kind of sparse out there. So, and we're pretty trans inclusive too. I mean, very much so. So,
right. There's a huge there's a historical alliance between the bi and trans communities, yes, because a lot of bi people are trans and a lot of trans people mm-hmm. are bi. And so there's a lot of camaraderie.
Intersectionality. Intersectionality. One of our co-hosts is Allison Wilbert. She is the creator and of the Transviolets Tracking Portal. Wonderful woman. I adore her.
Right.
Remind us again where to find the Bicast.
It is thebicast.org.
Perfect. Folks are free to call in 503-231-8187. I'm 96% certain that's right, KBOO-FM, just to verify. Good. Wonderful. Yeah, please feel free to call in with any questions or comments you have. We have about 10 minutes left here on the show. What's right about being bisexual?
Everything. It's freeing of the mind. It really is. Accepting that you can love someone because of who they are and not because of their gender or what their stereotype is a switch in your whole way of thinking of the world. It creates a respect for everyone, and it creates an openness with everyone. For me, that's what it's really about.
It's really interesting how allowing yourself to objectify people of any gender can actually, like, after time, you end up really not objectifying anybody.
I think that's it.
It's really interesting.
I think you start seeing people for what they really, really are, and stop seeing people for what you think they are by whatever label or stereotype or role you think they have. And it's a wonderful place to be.
And I'm amazed at how comfortable people are around me when they meet me and they find out what I do, and people open up. People who are gay or straight identified usually open up, and they talk about their bisexual feelings or bisexual insecurities or things that they've been afraid to talk about with other people in their lives. And so it's really a it's really satisfying and humbling, and it's just very special to be a person that people can open up to and talk about things, knowing that I'm not going to judge them based on their potential of not being monosexual.
Mm-hmm. Sexuality is fluid. You can be gay and still, have bisexual feelings. I mean, and labels sometimes are as much about who you identify with your community as they are what your personal attractions are. And it's okay to feel those things. It's okay to explore that. To find out what that means. It's not a frightening thing. It's part of being a human being.
There's a barista I've been going to his coffee shop for years, but we had our first actual conversation just a few weeks ago. And we ended, actually, he closed the shop. He was closing the shop when I got there, and we ended up talking the entire evening for hours. And, 4 hours later, he was like, I really should actually close the shop. And one of the things he asked me, which is he said, is a particular sort of conversation starter, so that he can hear what people, hear what people think about this, and sort of where they go with it. Is he asks some people, sort of people he feels might have something interesting to say about it. He just lays out the question, "How gay are you?" And leaves it open to however they want to define. And one of the things he said, if you say 0 or if you say 100, I'm probably going to tune you out after that. Like, that's just not a conversation I don't need to hear anymore. You've already told me enough. And it was, it was interesting just to sort of think about for a moment, or for a little while, to think about the layers at which, I could answer that question. I had multiple answers for that. I had a number score, but then I had other, sort of situational, like, where do I, how do I talk about myself? And what do people perceive me, or what I understand that people perceive me as? And those all felt like valid answers to that kind of question.
And they are. They're absolutely very, very valid answers to that kind of question. And like I said, you know, it's very frightening, especially for people who have been very connected to the gay and lesbian community, because it is not really quite accepted to come out as bisexual in these communities. You risk losing a community that you would love and adore and who has always supported you. So, you know, I encourage that everybody understand you don't actually, you don't have to switch your community label to be accepting of what you feel. You know, and if you have, if you are attracted to more than one gender, even if it was a situation where you perhaps fell in love with someone, you know, just the one time in your life, you know, you don't have to panic about that. It's just, it's part of human nature.
Right. And also, I like to tell people that they don't even, you know, have to give up a label to, like, trade it out for another one. Like,
you can be more than
one. I identify as gay. I identify as pansexual. I identify as queer. I think that exclusivity is for monosexuals.
Exactly. See, I have a lot of labels. I personally could identify as pansexual, but I just stick with bisexual because of I'm kind of active in the political arena, and it's just the way.
Right.
It's kind of a big umbrella, and you know, but I identify as queer, and you know, you can do that. You can identify. There's a lot of bisexuals that identify with the lesbian community and do so. You can have more than one community that you're aligned to. It doesn't have to be do or die, black and white.
And a really important thing that I really want people to start understanding is that even if you're not bisexual, it's okay to be an ally and
exactly.
to go to bisexual events and you know.
We're fun people.
Yeah.
We are.
We're cool. We know how to party.
We do. We're fun. We're great.
So, wonderful. We have a caller.
Hello?
Hi there. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for calling in.
Well, my name is Elizabeth Allen, and I'm now 67, which means that I've been an out bisexual for at least 40 years.
Wonderful.
I've led groups, talked to therapists. I have a doctorate in human sexuality. I've been leading a poly-SM munch in Beaverton for 20 years.
Hi, it's nice to meet you. Where have you been?
Well, I've been here before. Since long before the Q Center existed.
Yeah, indeed.
And I'm a frequent person at Alliance for Safer Communities, the old Sexual Minorities Roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have a single out bi person representing any group or even themselves on a regular basis there.
That's the Sexual Minorities Roundtable? But mm-hmm. and I'm
Lori
sorry.
Lori Weiss used to come, but that's mm-hmm. years ago now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gives me leads me into my final question here, and Elizabeth, you can answer this as well as anybody here, Lynette or Cameron, who wants to. What would you like to see happen?
Oh well,
yeah,
at
well,
least right the next leader of the Alliance for Safer Communities is going to be. A woman from one of the pansexual exchange of power worlds. She's into masters and slaves. And it's a long time since we've had active participants from bisexuals. I try to wear everybody's hat because of my doctorate in human sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to overly represent those things that I actually represent.
Right.
I try to hold everybody's hat. But we haven't had real participation from the bisexual community there at the police department in maybe a decade. And so what I'd like to see is more participation of the bisexual community there, and it's one of those places that often leads to participation in the city of Portland.
And where can folks find more information?
On the Portland Police Bureau's website, they'll find either Sexual Minorities Roundtable or updated to Alliance for Safer Communities. And Alliance ASC has its own Facebook page. It has its own web page. Their meetings are at lunchtime on the second Tuesday of every month on the 15th floor, where we actually sit in the conference space that the chief of police uses when he runs a meeting.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. We need to wrap up, but what I'm going to do, we have a Facebook KBOO Out Loud. I'm going to try and get information about all of these, about the information you just gave us, about the Bicast podcast, about Bibar, the conversation group at Q Center, and more.
Bi-Brigade. And one more thing I'd like to plug. You probably don't have enough time to get to the conversation group at Q Center tonight, but in honor of Celebrate Bisexuality Day, we are taking over Bar Bar at Mississippi Studios at 9 o'clock tonight, if you'd like to come out and meet some bisexuals.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Lynette, Cameron.
Thanks, Alan.
Yeah, you're welcome. This has been Out Loud. Coming up next is Hard Knock Radio here on KBOO.
Happy Bi-Bi Visibility Day.
Registration is now open for the Pacific Northwest Social Forum coming to Portland the weekend of September 26th through the 28th. The weekend will feature People's Movement assemblies on topics such as treaty rights, food sovereignty, housing justice, and more. The Social Forum will begin Friday, September 26th with the concert by KBOO Station co-manager Mike Crenshaw and friends. KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of this important and historic event where we, the people, will create the Pacific Northwest Plan of Action for social, economic, and climate justice. Information about registration, endorsement, childcare, or on the Pacific Northwest Social Forum in general can be found at kboo.fm.